Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Thank you, Scotty Chapin. It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review. Father Scott along with William Tapia.
Hello, everybody.
How's it going, William?
It's going well, man. How are you?
I'm very good.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you very much. Getting ready for the season of Lent.
Yes, we are. Already.
Yeah, and Ash Wednesday coming up on Wednesday.
Just crazy. Yeah, it seems like it's so quick. But Lent is always a beautiful and blessed time. Seriously, I love Lent. I think I said this last year, but Lent's one of my favorite times of the year, you know.
But it's just weird. I just put away the Christmas trees.
I know, yeah.
And it's Lent.
Yep. It's already Lent, and then soon Easter will be here, and Easter lilies and everything, and then, you know, Christmas again. Yeah.
But doesn't it seem like last Easter was mm-hmm. 6 months ago?
Not even. It feels like last Easter was like a week ago. It's weird. Yeah, I have a really vivid memory of sitting on this podcast across from you and Tony talking about what I'm going to give up for Lent. And it's weird. It's just eerie, you know?
Well, the older you get, the faster it goes.
That's true. You know, I'm looking forward to Lent again this year, as always. I think it's a really, Lent is not only in terms of giving things up and, you know, and kind of renewing yourself every day and things like what we talked about last week on the podcast. But even still, I think Lent is just so steeped in really cool Catholic traditions that we don't really get to experience throughout the year. I think that's what makes it cool too. You know, I talked about, and I think maybe last year, the year before, but I talked about, you know, the traditions in Spain for Holy Week, but even in New Mexico, we have these really beautiful traditions here. I was reading about how in some of the smaller northern New Mexico communities, they have these statues of Jesus that they process around the plazas, and then they, will have like entombments and bury the body, and so it'll, you know, the statue will kind of symbolically rise up on Easter Sunday. So we have these really beautiful traditions, beautiful vestments, things that we just don't see normally. So it kind of shakes us up.
Yeah,
and that's the idea, right?
But nothing like Spain.
No. Yeah, nothing like Spain.
I don't think there's any place on earth that does quite what Spain does.
Spain is amazing.
Lent.
And for any new listeners, I have to make a plea. Please, 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 at least once in your life, try to make it out to Spain during Holy Week. And stay for Easter. It's just unbelievable. It's so beautiful. So, yeah, starting on like the Monday, I think it's that Monday or Palm Sunday of Holy Week. They begin these processions like round the clock, you know, throughout these towns and cities in Spain. And, Yeah, they have these guys who dress up like, they look like the KKK, if I'm honest with you. It's like the tall pointed hoods and that kind of thing. But of course, they predate the KKK by hundreds of years and they're not racist. You know what I mean?
In fact, the KKK dressed that way to mock the Catholic Church.
Spanish Catholicism, right?
Sure.
Right. So, yeah, so, you know, and these guys get their dress in Spain. You can look them up. They get their dress out there in Spain based off of the Inquisition, actually. So, you know, the dunce caps, you know, you think about the dunce caps when you were a kid, the tall pointy hats, right?
Did you wear one?
And I never wore a dunce cap. Did you?
No.
Did they have them when you were young?
No.
They didn't have them. Okay. I guess it's probably a lot, you know, earlier than you and I, but,
no, we just got, you know, paddled.
Yeah. You got paddled?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm that old. The principal had a paddle with holes in it.
Imagining you probably deserved it too, right?
Hey.
I'm just kidding.
And then so not only did you get a spanking by the principal, he'd send you home to your dad.
Mm.
So then you get additional whooping.
Double, yeah. Yeah.
That's additional whooping.
That's so crazy. Feels like, right? And it is such a different time, you know what I mean? That would so not be allowed now. But anyway, so the dunce cap and then these pointed caps that the Spanish hermandades is what they call them, the hermandades. So what they wear, it's based off of the Inquisition. So when you were on trial for the Inquisition, you wear a hat like that. It's supposed to be a cone of shame, literally, to show your shame. And so these penitents took it on to show their shame for their sins. And they carry these beautiful statues. It's just
like
amazing.
Wearing sackcloth. And ashes.
That's the idea. Exactly. It was supposed to be a public shaming. You know, I'm ashamed by the sins that I've committed. And they took these long walks around the city, oftentimes barefoot on cobblestone, these acts of penance for their sins that they've committed throughout the year. It's just incredible. I mean, they carry these big, gigantic floats and, you know, these big wooden floats. It's hard to describe, but they have these life-size statues of images from Christ's Passion, like when he's brought up to Pontius Pilate, when he's being crucified. I mean, life-size wood statues on these big, huge wooden thrones is what they call them, and it's really emotional. It's so beautiful. It's just really emotional to see that. So I'd encourage you, podcast land, make the trip, plan on it, do it before, you know, do it before you die. It's one of those things that will always, always stay with you. And it changed the way I see Lent and Holy Week, to be honest, you know?
Yeah. So it's only, what, $5,000 to get there?
No. Are you kidding me? Tickets right now, dude, to Spain for that time are like $800 round.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
But then you got to get a place to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Food?
Yeah. I mean, it starts adding up. I don't know. You could do it under $5,000 for sure, dude.
Yeah.
But I'd encourage you to go check it out. So,
well, very cool, man. So what are you going to do for Lent? What's your plan, man?
I'm still figuring it out. Lent snuck up on me this year. You know, I've said this before, but like I love to do stuff for Lent because I find it oftentimes it's harder to do something positive than it is to, or, you know, than it is to just give something up. I think both of them can be a good thing. So I'm trying to figure it out still, but you know, I just need to get better. And I've said this already and I fail so much at it, but like praying my rosary every day, that's something I want to do, make it a part of my life, part of my routine, but I'm bad. You know, first thing when I get up in the mornings, make a cup of coffee and flip on the news. And it's like, oh, there goes an hour watching the news and drinking my coffee. You know what I mean?
When
it's
you like, should be praying a rosary.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
By the way, the first thing when we wake up in the morning, we should pray.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Morning is a great time to pray, by the way, because your mind is fresh.
Yep.
But you're right. We flip on Fox News or whatever, and we drink coffee.
Yep. And then there goes the morning. You know, it's like an hour goes by like that. You're sitting there, hour goes by, and then you're racing. It's like, oh, no, I have to get ready for work, and you're running around and whatever, and then it's gone, you know? And, I mean, a rosary, you know. I have this thing in my head where I'm like, oh, a rosary, you have to really devote time, and it takes so long, but... Dude, I'm telling you what, right? Like a rosary, 15 minutes, maybe. Maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know?
20.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really manageable. It's not an hour, you know? So that's going to be something I'm going to try and incorporate as always. And then I love praying the Divine Office. I love the Divine Office, but I don't pray it enough. And I don't, you know, focus and meditate on the readings and stuff. So that's going to be something I'm probably going to try and incorporate. But what about you, Padre? What are you doing for Lent this year?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to give up cigars, okay? So this is going to be my last cigar review for a while.
Dehesila.
And by the way, and there's an article, I think it was posted, I think it was on, what is it, Church Pop?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also posted on Spirit Daily about, you know, the people who, you know, they give up something for Lent, but then on Sunday...
They cheat.
That's cheating. That's, come on, what is that?
Yeah.
It's a new invention.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, and I think of, too, like...
Oh, but it's a feast day.
I think of something, like, there's different levels to it, right? So if you gave up... like cigars, which is like a neutral thing, right? Unless you've taken it to the point where it's a sin, right?
But like, what do you mean it's a neutral
thing? I mean, like, it's not a sin. It's not like a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. It's like neutral.
But it's not good.
Right. Okay. So maybe that's a bad example. Maybe like coffee. I don't know. Soda.
That's not a sin.
So my point is that it's neutral. It's not like, it doesn't have like a positive moral weight or a negative moral weight. It's just kind of this thing that's there, right? I think that's different, but I think the temptation is, right? So, like, let's say I give up cussing for Lent. I'm like, I'm not going to use foul language at all during Lent. But,
I can't imagine you not cussing.
Stop it. I do not.
You know.
Get out of here.
I'm so used to you just flinging words around.
Anyway, so, stop. I don't. But, so let's say somebody gives up cussing for Lent, and then they give up also coffee, right? And then they say, oh, okay, it's Sunday. I'm going to drink coffee. That's fine. Then I think subconsciously they're going to want to start cussing again. You know what I mean? Like the actual things that have moral weight, they're going to want to do that and indulge in that on Sundays as well. Because now all the reins are off, so to speak. So I don't think it's a good thing. They say it takes 30 days to break a habit. And it's like Lent is a great opportunity to break those bad habits and that habitual sin, maybe, right? That's living deep down in the shadows, right? So Lent's a great time for that. Don't mess that up.
But it's here's the deal. And cigars might be neutral, but the fact that we love to do them, to give them up for Lent and to do it for the Lord, okay, because we're going to want them, we're going to crave them, but then to do it, to give it up for the Lord.
Yeah.
Is a most honorable thing, I think.
I agree.
So it's not, look, okay, I'm smoking a cigar right now. It's not a sin that I'm doing this.
Right.
But, you know, come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, I'm going to want one in the worst way, but I don't smoke one, and I give that want to the Lord, which he delights in.
Yep, because he sanctifies that desire, right? And because, I mean, ultimately, all our desires for things of this world, whether it's... a good thing or even an evil thing, right? Ultimately, all those desires are rooted in a deep desire for our Lord and intimacy with him, you know? And that's essentially right what St. Augustine says when he says our hearts are restless until they rest in you, is because we have this big God-shaped hole in the center of our souls, right? And we're trying to fill it with whatever it is, right? Food, drugs, alcohol, cigars, you know, sex, whatever it is. It's like we try and fill that God-sized hole in our soul. And the fact is we're never going to do it. You know, we're never going to do it unless with God. So, yeah. No, you're right, dude. You are right.
So I'll give these things up.
Is that it? Cigars?
No, I don't know. I'll think of something.
You should give up cussing, too. Cursing from the pulpit.
I don't cuss from the pulpit.
No, I'm just teasing you.
Some lady came up one time at Theology on Tap and said, you're that guy who cusses from the pulpit. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I know.
Well, I heard you cuss from the pulpit.
It's like,
I would not do that.
Never. No, I know. Never have you ever. I've been to mass with you a lot. I've never heard you cuss from the pulpit.
Yeah.
But
I don't do that.
I know. People are funny. People are funny. But, and again, of course, I'm just teasing you about that cussing from the pulpit thing, but... You know, yeah.
No, I didn't say anything about the golf course. That's a different story. But it's golf. But not from the pulpit. Come on.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, Lent will be good, man. So you won't smoke cigars even when you're golfing, like any of that stuff?
No.
Wow.
And I will not smoke cigars on Sunday. Wow. I don't know where this came from. So people have been asking me, oh, is it true we can, you know, whatever we give up, we can take up? Because, you know, I heard it's a feast day. Sundays are feast days and we can, well, come on.
You know, it's a
new thing. I've never heard of this. Right. Growing up, I never heard of it.
Right.
It's like a new thing ever since I was like ordained. It's only like in the past 10 years I've been hearing about this. Oh, on Sundays we can, and on feast days, nonsense. No. Well, if you give something up, give something up.
Yeah. I agree, and not to turn this a little bit, but also should be a reflection, I think, for us, is are we just trying to do the minimum for our Lord? Are we just looking for the bare bones minimum for our Lord and to show our love to Jesus?
You know what our Lord said about that, right?
Tell me.
Well, it's in the scripture. When you have done what you were required to do, don't consider yourself a profitable disciple.
Mm. So not the bare bones, people, not the bare minimum. Right.
That's right.
And I'm talking to myself too, as much as I am anybody else. But, you know, it's like our Lord wants all of us, not just, oh, it's the bare minimum. We'll just kind of just skirt our way into heaven. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Jesus, you know, going to the, after he was scourged, saying, okay, that's good enough.
Right. That's right. Enough. I've accomplished it.
Yeah. That's,
I'm done now.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's a good, great point. It's a great point. So, Lent, Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday. And maybe it'd be worthwhile, just really quickly, Father, talking about some of the regulations you got to do on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Just the fasting. Well, look,
yeah, but
you know,
there's these age limits, and I don't know the age limits.
Yeah, yeah.
They're posted in the bulletin, but but I can tell you this.
Okay.
For those of us that apply to this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So on.
If you're young and in good health, basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, but I think you have to be, like, if you're below 14, it doesn't apply. But
yeah, if you're a child, yeah.
But see, my mom growing up, she didn't care about age limits. Her kids were going to fast and, you know, abstain regardless. So we were like 2 years old.
Oh, no, we did that. Well, no, so I did the same thing. But, like, it's funny because, like, you think about today, people would probably think that's child abuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll go report you.
So look, on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, no meat. And on Good Friday, as well as Ash Wednesday, three meals, but two have to be just like snacks.
Yeah.
Only one big meal for the day. And it can be breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And no snacking in between.
Yep.
You know?
So the two small meals cannot be the size of the one big meal.
Right. And then that applies also to Good Friday. And then Fridays of Lent, every Friday of Lent, there is no meat. You may not eat meat. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, and then there's, you know, each person, you know, makes a decision for himself or herself to either give something up as a sacrifice or to take something up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you can be creative, you know, maybe it's going to the nursing home once a week to visit the, you know, the people in the nursing home. They love to have visitors.
That's a great thing. Let me just say what a great thing that is.
Absolutely.
That's something that Pope Francis focused on, I think, last year, the year before. He devoted the Fridays of Lent to the corporal works of mercy. So he'd visit the sick, visit the infirm, bury the dead. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great, great template for us.
Another guy I know, he'll make about, I don't know, like 30, 40 sandwiches, you know, just peanut butter and jelly or bologna or whatever. When he drives around and there's the homeless person on the corner and he passes out a sandwich.
That's awesome.
Kind of cool.
That's great. No,
nice
that's
thing.
Great. That's awesome.
So,
yep.
It's all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah. Well, praise God for this time of renewal. And, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, sometimes I hear people being like, oh, it's so hard. Why is the church so strict during Lent? And, you know, the fact of the matter is this is the easiest we've ever had it in the 2,000-year history of the church.
We're so wimpified.
Yeah, we're spoiled. We're just spoiled, you know. And you even think about, like, our Byzantine brothers and sisters, you know, who are, you know, they're fully Catholic. They're in the Eastern Church. But they, a lot of them, don't eat any dairy at all for all of Lent. Like, no cheese. Some of them don't eat anything with oil in it. Some of them, like, nothing that has touched red wine. Like, they follow these old fasting practices still to this day for the entire 40 days of Lent, right? So whenever we kind of sit back and like, oh, it's so hard. We have to give up meat on Fridays, on five Fridays.
Yeah.
And then we have to eat small meals on two of the days. It's like, we really, ladies and gentlemen, we have it super easy. We really do. The easiest in the 2,000-year history of the church. We're not being persecuted, beheaded, skinned alive, burned at the stake for being Christian, right? We're asked this little tiny, tiny, tiny bit, you know, out of love for our Lord. And that's the spirit it should be out of. The spirit should not be, oh, the Pope is making me do this, or the church is making me do this, and blah, 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 right? This is all done out of a profound and deep love for our Lord, who fasted 40 days in the desert, eating nothing, right? But maybe even water, right? Fasted for 40 days in the desert. Our Lord, who had the agony in the garden, sweat drops of blood, agonizing over you and me. The same Lord who was brought in front of Pilate, beaten and scourged in front of his mother, carried a cross up the hill to Calvary, crucified, and then died for us on that hill at Calvary. So really what we're being asked is so, so, so small. And we really need to take it in the good spirit. So I'm happy about it. I'm excited for Lent, always.
Yeah, and he did that for us without us asking.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
No.
That's exactly right. That's a great point.
Yep, that's right. God, there was another point I was going to make. Now it just, you know what happens when you turn almost 58? By the way, I turned 58 on April 4th.
Woo.
Write that down. My expensive gift. Very important.
And cigars, although you couldn't smoke them for another 3 weeks, right?
Oh, no. No, actually, my birthday is 1 week before. Well, let's see. Yeah, 1 week.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Easter's middle of April, yeah.
Yeah. But when you get to a certain age, you kind of... Did I tell you about the Taco Bell incident?
Which one?
Well, no, there's only one. So I go to Taco Bell.
Tell me about it. Go ahead.
I go to Taco Bell. I get like a six-pack of tacos. I drive up to the window, give her my money, and drove home. So I get home. I'm like, hey, where are my tacos? Where are my tacos? I had to drive back. I had to drive back to Taco Bell to get my tacos.
Oh, man.
So I gave her the money, and I drove home. See what happens?
Oh, that's funny, dude.
It's so funny.
That's awesome.
So listen, Mass at John Vianney at on Ash Wednesday, 6 a.m. Why did I agree to this 6 a.m. business? Wow. Oh, my goodness. 9 a.m., 4 p.m., and 7 p.m.
And fun factoid, too, it's great. It's so good to go to Mass on Ash Wednesday. You start your Lent off right. You get your ashes, a sign of where we come from and where we are returning to, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you know, Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation. So just keep that in your mind too, you know. It's not under penalty of sin, but it's a great thing to go to Mass if you can.
So. Of course. But it's the day that everybody shows up.
Yep. Because you get something out of it, you know.
And then there's somebody who showed, they don't go to Mass, but then they show up after the Mass. Can I get my ashes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as if it's a sacrament. You know, it's not a sacrament.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody whose theory... So, the theory is why is it that Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday are the two most attended... Some of the most attended masses of the year. I mean, apart from Christmas and Easter.
Because you get free stuff.
Yeah, you get stuff out of it. Was this person's theory, right? So, you get ashes at Ash Wednesday.
I know, but if you go to Mass on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on a Sunday, you get something... That is life-giving. It's called the Eucharist.
Yep. Jesus Christ, body, hello, blood, soul, and divinity. Yep.
And look, you can. And the truth is, you can fill a bathtub. You could fill a swimming pool up with ashes, and you can have 100 priests bless those ashes and jump inside them. You know, you can whirl around in them. It's not going to save you. It's true.
Exactly. That's going to
save you.
Nope.
It's an outward symbol of your what should be going on inside of you.
Yes.
Or the person.
Right.
Which is repentance.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And man, what a beautiful prayer too, when the priest draws the sign of the cross in your forehead and ashes. Remember, man, thou art dust, and to dust thou wilt return. Just so beautiful and a profound reminder of our mortality and of our humanity, right? And we've talked about the idea of memento mori so much on this podcast, so I'll spare all of our listeners today, but it's just, you know, just a great, great, great and profound reflection starting off Lent with that. So
I have my own thing I say.
What do you say?
You know, you're supposed to say ashes to ashes, what was it?
Remember, man, thou art dust.
Dust, you shall. And then the other one, there's two of them. There's another one, repent and believe in the gospel.
Yep. Which Mine is a great is, one, too. That's a great one.
Well, I invented my own.
What is yours?
Go to confession and get your butt to Mass. All right, now get out of here.
And then he does it with a lit cigar, too.
Yeah, right. Here's your ashes. Yeah, it's kind of hot.
It burns.
It burns. Maron, it burns.
We're only kidding, but.
Yeah, of course we're kidding.
Yep.
We're kidding. Okay, but listen. That thing about Sunday and, you know, you can do whatever you give up, you can do on Sunday. That's nonsense. Come on. Who invented that?
I know.
Come on. I
really don't know. I pretend like I know everything, so I'm not totally sure on this one. But I could pretend like I know who invented it. But yeah. Yep. So I'm looking forward to that. Lent's going to be great. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the struggle.
See, to me, it's so much easier than Lent. Advent is the for me, Lent is easy compared to Advent.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Just because it's more drawn out?
Well, Christmas is too much stuff. There's too much parties. There's too much activity.
Yeah.
You know, there's just too much going, running around.
Mm-hmm.
Lent, everything for me, everything just slows down.
Mm.
You know, which I think is awesome.
That's a good point, right? Cause really it's just the Easter lilies and stuff like that. It's not the wreaths and the trees and the, you know, mangers and all that kind of stuff. And
well, that's decoration, but just everything in general, you don't have to go out shop. You have to worry about what you're going to get somebody. It's just penitential and it's quiet and
monastic, you know? Very monastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And the stations of the cross are very beautiful and you know?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Well, I was going to mention, I don't know if there's a good time to say this. Tony, of course, is not with us at this podcast right now. He's still in Indiana with his family. Definitely please keep him in your prayers. I know he's appreciative of all the prayers everybody's been sending, but, his mother, passed away, on Thursday of last week.
Yeah.
And you know, we're very sad about that. And it hit us all pretty hard in addition to him. So, just keep him in your prayers, keep his mother, the repose of his mother's soul in your prayers, his family during this time and all that good stuff. And Tony, if you're listening, man, we love you. We're praying for you and we're here for you, brother. So.
And miss him.
Yeah, we do. We miss him a lot. So
we miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
But I guess his mom was very holy.
She was. Yeah, she absolutely was. I mean, yeah, you got to be holy if you raise a son like Tony, I guess.
Oh boy.
Right?
Oh boy.
But, so.
Okay. So I watched, if you want to watch a really great movie now, I should tell you that, if you're really into like car crashes and car chases and explosions, not a good movie to see, but if you really want to see a really great movie that I watched this past Tuesday, it's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Okay. Now it's, you know, Tom Hanks and he plays Mr. Rogers. But it's not about Mr. Rogers. It's about I don't want to give it away. It's about somebody else who struggles with anger and resentment.
Mm.
Okay. Now, again, it's not about Mr. Rogers, but Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks, is in the film. Okay.
Wow.
So, and if you want to know, it's a movie that not only you can and should see, but also your children, your young children. Any age limit can see this movie. It's just beautiful.
Awesome.
It's a great movie about redemption.
Yeah. And you said you rented it, right? On iTunes or something.
Yeah. I download on iTunes.
That's cool. That's great. Yeah. I'll have to do that.
So, just to recommend a film.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it won a ton of awards, I think, when it came out.
It did?
Yeah. I think it did. I'm pretty sure it won all these awards. And Tom Hanks, man, what a great actor too. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. One of the best, man.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so I said we do a little cigar review.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
All right, so I'm smoking. Now, by the way, I'm giving these up for Lent. So You know, I went to Denver or to Phoenix, Denver. That was a long time ago. But I did smoke there too, but in Phoenix. So ever since I went to Phoenix, knowing that I'm going to give these things up, I've been smoking like five of these a day. Cigars, that is. Okay. So, yeah, I just like, it's insane. I get up in the morning with my coffee. I have a Padron. Then I go to work. And then like mid-morning, I'll come fly home and I'll smoke another one. Then I eat lunch. I go back to work. And then midday, I come back. I'll smoke a cigar. And I go back to work. And then I come back, smoke one before, like, say, RCIA. After RCIA, I'll have a post-RCIA cigar. And then I do, like, my office. And then I, pre-bed time, smoke a cigar.
Dude, by the time Ash Wednesday rolls around, you're going to be sick of cigars.
That's my goal, you see. Okay, so, yeah, I've been doing, like, a bunch. Okay, so, and now, at that's the like- moment...
What? It's like $60 a day.
Yeah, but that's okay. I bought like a couple of boxes of Padron, so you know.
This is why you got to give him cigars as his gift on April the 4th, so you can replenish his stock.
But what if I choose not to go back to them?
That would be shocking. I would be shocked.
That would be shocking.
That would be shocking. I'd be
but stunned. It takes 30 days. Lent is 40.
Yeah, but you came 40 back plus. Last year. Although last year you weren't foaming at the mouth when you come back to them.
I didn't give them up last year.
The year before?
Year the year before.
Yeah, yeah. The year before, you weren't foaming at the mouth to get back to him. But anyway, sorry to cut you off, but go ahead.
That's all right. So at the moment, I am smoking the Romeo y Julieta, the Reserva. Okay, so this is a Churchill. It looks like a natural, but it's a little darker. Okay, and I didn't read up on it, so I don't know what the filler is. I don't know anything like that. It's a Churchill. It's a 54 ring gauge. The draw is a little tough for me since I'm so used to the Padron. So you got to do a little work, you know, to draw it. You got to do some work. Okay. But the burn, look at that burn. It's really nice. Yeah, okay, it's got a really nice, light, sort of fillowy taste to it.
Fillowy?
Yeah. Fillowy.
What does that mean?
It means like light and airy.
Like pillowy?
Not pillowy. Pillowy is something of like that's
I've
that's
never a, heard of pillowy no. before.
Pillowy is when you're talking. If we were talking about my pillow, I would say it's pillowy. Okay, but we're not. So we're talking about
all right. Go ahead.
Like a cloud is pillowy.
You know, look at the. I have never heard that word in my entire life.
Look at the clouds. They're like pillowy. They're light. You know. You know what I'm saying?
It's got a pillowy taste to it.
Yeah. So it's not harsh. You know. So. Tell you about that other thing I smoked last week, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, thing was like, ugh. It was like, seriously, like, it was like smoking like an iron pipe or something, you know, like a wrought iron pipe or something. I don't know. It was like a cast iron skillet, like, ugh.
Just licking the bacon grease.
So this thing is very good. Okay. And you know where I got this. You bought it for me last week. Remember?
Oh, was that at Total Wine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I highly recommend the Romeo y Julieta That's Reserva right. from 1875. Okay. You see that? Okay. And it's a, look at that. Look at that burn, man. That beauty, isn't it?
It's a great burn, man.
Oh boy.
Yeah. All right. Those are some good sticks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, I got, I'm smoking a gift as well. This is a gift from my mother, actually, for my birthday. Mm-hmm. She bought me the Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. I don't know the size because I'm terrible and didn't measure it before. I just forget to do that. I'm going to have to remind myself to do that, but I forgot, so I didn't do it. It's almost like a Maduro. It's real dark, dark skin out and on the exterior, oily to the touch. It looks a little shiny, so it's more of an oily wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Those are good.
They're delicious. It's fantastic. So it's a Nicaraguan cigar. I think through and through, phenomenal burn, easy draw. It's this is a definitely after dinner, like evening cigar. It's spicy, it's earthy, it tastes like espresso, like black coffee. Like you think about those really bold, pronounced flavors. This thing is so good. Highly recommend this stick. I think she got it at Total Wine, but I think it's available both online and then at our favorite cigar shop, Havana House, here in Albuquerque. Phenomenal cigar. Ladies and gentlemen, remember the name, Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Phenomenal, phenomenal stick. I cannot recommend this enough. I am enjoying the heck out of this. I've had to relight it because I blabbed my face off over here, but it's phenomenal. Jaime Garcia, Reserva Especial. Buy it today.
Is that it?
That's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's it, eh?
No.
That's it? No game show?
No. No song. Dude, I haven't written a song. I haven't even picked up my guitar in forever.
Wow.
And the keyboard is not even plugged in.
How sad. I know you've got it loaded up with palms. Speaking of Lent over there.
Yeah,
stack
I don't
of
know.
Palms on top.
I go through phases. Like I'm into it and then I'm not into it.
I can't,
see, right now I'm into golf. Okay.
I was wondering what you were asking about that at dinner. You're asking who won the Masters or whatever.
No, the Masters. What'd you That's say? Not till April.
What were you talking about? You're talking about something.
The championship from it was from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So DeChambeau, I think his name
is. That's right.
He was ahead, and then Reed was falling. He was like sucking, and then all of a sudden, I look at the, and then Reed won the tournament. I'm like, wow, what happened? So that's cool.
Yeah. You've been golfing your tail off too, right? These past couple of weeks.
And it's so bad. I'm so obsessed with this game that when I go to bed at night, I like practice. This is how I fall asleep every night. I practice my tee shots.
Wow.
In my brain.
Yeah.
And then I fall asleep.
That's hilarious, man.
Isn't it weird? That's and then hilarious. I wake up and I'm like thinking about it. It's really weird.
You probably dream about it too, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I have really weird dreams, like dreams in general, but like golf dreams.
Just beating the green for like the golf club.
What?
After you miss the putt. I have all this PTSD from when I went golfing with you that one time.
Yeah, and?
I've told the story. When you were putting. So Father Scott's up there on the green trying to
putt. All right, now tell the truth.
No, this is what happened. You're up there trying to putt on the green.
Let's not exaggerate.
All right, no.
You're about to say.
Hey, this is true. If Father Marshall was here, call Father Marshall so he can verify my story. So Father Scott's up there on the green, okay? He's putting, and he puts it, and I can't remember if you missed or if you overshot. I think you overshot. So you overshot it. You walk over there. That is again. Yeah, I just can't kind of hear him getting more and more upset over there. So we're in two golf carts. So our golf cart that I'm driving you around in is at the end of the green, and then Father Marshall and I forget who he was with was a little ways away. So I'm walking over to them because I'm like, all right, he's getting more and more upset. I'm not going to hang out for this and see what happens. So then, out of nowhere, I just hear like that. And right in front of my head, just this like flash of silver.
Oh, this is all
No, it's
fake.
A flash of silver. Oh, and then and I look at Father Marshall, and his eyes are as wide as plates. Like, he's sitting there looking at me. His eyes are as wide as plates, just staring at me. And the golf club is sticking out of the grass like Excalibur, like Excalibur, just this 45-degree angle buried in the grass.
Oh,
and I'm like, he almost reamed me with that, didn't he?
That's fake news.
It's like, yeah, that was like a foot away from your head.
No.
So I'm just saying. So after
let me tell you. Here's what really
my brain.
Okay, let me tell you what really happened.
Yeah, all
okay?
right. Tell me from your perspective.
I was eating Lay's potato chips prior to shooting the shot, and then when I was, you know, after I hit, then the Lay's with the oil, the you know, from the potato chips. Caused the club to slip out of my hand, okay, and then that's what happened.
Have you seen those commercials where it's just Pinocchio and he keeps lying and his nose gets longer and longer? That's right. You're gonna hear.
Yeah, and the girl.
What's
the
that
girl
sound?
Says,
it's Father Scott's nose hitting the mic over here.
So it's funny the girl when the one where he's dating, he goes on that blind date or whatever, you know, that and she looks at the Pete Nokio.
He goes, oh, that's an old picture. And his nose zooms out. Oh, no, that was a professional headshot.
So funny.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's what, and if Father Marshall was here, he would verify my story. I'll never forget him just sitting there in his little.
Yeah, but he
little,
better watch what he says.
His eyes are just as big as blips.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, what can you say?
Anyway, so. So that's my PTSD from that. So,
fake news.
I'm just saying, man. So anyway.
All right. So anything else happening? I was thumbing through the news. The only thing, you know, really nothing. Did you watch the debates? Mm-mm. The Democrat
no,
debates?
No. And I've said before, I don't really keep up with politics in general. I find it really hard to, I mean, for either side, right? I find it really hard to actually figure out the truth in anything, because you have, I mean, politicians say things and then the news takes a spin on those things that are kind of like a little shaky anyway. So I don't know. I don't know if it's probably not a good level of ignorance, but I just kind of like, I kind of bask in my ignorance and take pride in really figuring out, okay, what's actually happened and what policies are enacted. You know what I mean? So the short answer to your question is no, I didn't watch the debates.
All right. Then there's no point in talking about it.
But something I saw in the news in the Catholic world that I thought was really neat.
What?
In the Sistine Chapel. And you've been before. You've been to the Sistine Chapel in Rome.
Sure.
This is amazing. So they displayed for the first time in, I mean, a long, long, long time.
Do they still have that guy there that shushes everybody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Shh. And that, but he's doing that. He's been doing that for 50 years.
Per favore. No foto, no video. Shh. I mean, it is so loud.
But no one pays attention.
Oh, no. Everybody's taking pictures and it's jam-packed with tourists. Like, you can't even, you can barely get your elbows out. Like, it's so jam-packed with people in there. But so for this past week.
So it's probably not even a guy. It's just a recording.
No. I saw the guy. It's a guy who stands up on the left side of the altar and he's wearing the, like, the Italian police or whatever. And he's just standing.
But he's been doing that for 50 years and no one listens to him.
It's all horse.
You think he would finally say, you know what? This isn't working. Yeah, they should just build a drone and shh.
But then, no, so when
silencio,
I was there, though,
silencio.
He was actually pointing at people from up there. So he's like, Señora, Señora, per favore. Nah, nah, nah. Like, you know, shh.
But it doesn't work.
We should try.
Because everybody's quiet for maybe 10 seconds.
Maybe 10 seconds.
Do you hear the kids out in the parking lot?
Oh, yeah. We should tell them, shh. Per favore. Out the window. I also, I'm sorry to anybody who might be Italian. That was really offensive. My impression. It just offended so many of our listeners. Anyway. But
you're going to get a text tomorrow from Joe Pesci.
Oh, man. But so in the Sistine Chapel, this past week, to commemorate the 500th anniversary of Raphael's passing, they displayed these tapestries that he designed. What are you doing?
I'm just turning around to look at the kid.
I can't see him from where I'm sitting at all. I can hear him, but I can't see him.
They're singing something.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to be on our podcast. What do you
Maybe
think?
Maybe they are.
Maybe they know that we're doing our podcast because they can see. You can see right through this window.
Yeah. Oh, no, I see him. I see the kids right there.
And then they're trying to be on our podcast. It's kind of like they're trying to audition for
Per favore.
America's Smokes. Got Talent or something.
It's a lucrative Holy Smokes auditions. Okay, so I'm going to finally tell this story, maybe. This past week, Rome was commemorating the 500th anniversary of the passing away of Raphael. Mm-hmm. So he designed these beautiful tapestries. The Pope in 1515, I think Pope Leo the something, commissioned these gigantic tapestries. They're like 50 feet tall by like 100 feet. It's just gigantic. I don't know if that's true, but they're gigantic. And anyway, they're depicting the life of Saints Peter and Saint Paul, the two patron saints of Rome. Uh-huh. Just incredible. And it's wild that it's 500 years since these things were crafted and created and everything. And to see him up there, and of course, see him in photos, it was just incredible. Seeing him in their context and that kind of thing. So that was a really cool nerdy Catholic thing. Got me really excited as a weird little history nerd. But
I got to tell you, man, if you go to Rome, you got to do the Vatican Museum.
Yes. Yep.
The Scavi Tour 2. The Scavi Tour 2. Not the Scavi Tour. There's not a Scavi Tour 1 and then 2 and 3. No, but also, do not only the Vatican Museum, but if you can, if it's possible, take the Scavi Tour.
Yep. And the Scavi Tour is something you have to request tickets for like 2 or 3 months in advance. So if anybody who's listening to the podcast wants to do that, do it quickly. Because those tickets go really fast. It's limited availability. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. They take you to the original burial site of Saint Peter under the Vatican. So it's very cool. Very, very cool. So
okay, so why don't you read the gospel and then we'll go into the gospel.
The gospel.
Seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time.
Yep, seventh Sunday.
And the final one before Lent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good lead into Lent, I think.
It sure is. All the readings from this Sunday were great.
Yeah.
So this Sunday's gospel is coming from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." Amen.
Amen to that. So the first thing I want to say is this. You know, oftentimes a person will say, "Well, why do bad things happen to good people?" So listen to this text, right? "I cause the sun to shine on the good and the bad. I cause the rain to fall on the bad and the good." Okay, so we're all susceptible to, you know, we're all of us, okay? We have good times, bad people, good people, good times, bad times. Okay, so we're not exempt from, good people are not exempt from suffering, and bad people are not, you know, they too can experience fortunes, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but ultimately, you know, comes the end, and then there's heaven or the absence of it. Mm-hmm. So, but while we live, you know, bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. But also good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people.
Right. Right.
So,
And I mean, what is being truly good in that way too, right? If everything was perfect in your life and everything went totally according to mm-hmm. plan, you never had any trials in your life, never had any hardships.
What good is that?
Yeah. And what does it mean to actually be good, right? Good person is somebody who still chooses the good even in a bad situation.
Right.
Right.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So if there were no temptations, if there's nothing like that, then mm-hmm. well, we'd have no choice but mm-hmm. to be good, right?
Okay, so what's your take on this whole reading?
It's hard. It's a really tough one because I've heard a couple different interpretations of it, right? It's a challenge. I find it really profoundly challenging when Jesus is saying, you know, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn
doesn't
the other
he
one.
Call us? Doesn't he challenge us?
Yeah, absolutely. And
I mean, I guess some one guy kind of protested, but. Mm-hmm. Anywhere in scripture, have you ever read anywhere in scripture where Jesus said, do the easy thing?
Exactly. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So, you know, when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, that's difficult. Mm. Deny yourself. That's difficult.
Right.
When he says in this gospel, love your enemies, is that easy?
Right.
Very difficult.
Super hard. That is
super hard.
That's something that I and most people struggle with for their entire life, right? Mm-hmm. Excuse me, but you know, yeah, it's tough because I've heard different interpretations. I'm sure you've heard these too, Padre, but like you have some people who say like, oh, well, Jesus says carry, you know, if someone asks you to carry their burden for a mile, go an extra mile, go another mile. Mm-hmm. So there are some interpretations I've heard where somebody said, well, that's because, so, and this is true, actually, this part's true. The Romans, to the Jewish people, when they were occupying Jerusalem, they can ask a Jew, hey, carry my burden for a mile. It was legally binding in Roman law, mm-hmm. so you had to do it if you were a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like they made Simon carry the cross of the Lord.
That's exactly right. It's mm-hmm. a great example. And so the interpretation I heard is that if you take it the extra mile, it breaks Roman law and it gets the person who asks you to carry the burden in trouble. And that's always made me a little uncomfortable because it seems a little vengeful. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is, but it just seems a little weird. I think I like your interpretation, Father, better, I think that what it is in a certain way as well, I think it's our Lord telling us this roadmap, but then also fulfilling it himself, right? Because what happens when he carries his cross? And I'm glad you mentioned Simon the centurion, right? What happens when he carries his cross? He gets slapped in the face. He gets beaten and he turns the other cheek. He doesn't fight back. Mm-hmm. They ask him to carry his burden, the cross, right? And he carries it and then some, right? He gets crucified upon it.
Mm-hmm.
They take his cloak and he gives them his tunic as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's just hard. It's hard. I don't know another way to put it. It's just such a challenge. And I think our Lord in this gospel foreshadows his passion, and in doing so kind of gives us the roadmap.
Well, he's telling us to do not what is natural, but to do what is supernatural. To do the natural, when we are punched in the face, naturally we punch back. You follow me?
Yeah.
So I think he's saying, I don't want you to do the natural thing. Do the supernatural thing.
Yes.
Okay, but we have to, and I know in a previous podcast, because we talked about this before, it's important to understand that what we are not saying is lay down and play dead. Like, okay, so for example, okay, somebody, you're a homeowner, you're at home with your wife and your children, somebody breaks into your house. Okay, you don't just say, lay down and say, okay, have at it, whatever you want.
Right.
Okay, you have an obligation to do whatever you can to protect your wife and your children, and also yourself, okay? Okay, but I think this is applying to other things, like insults. Okay, so somebody insults you, don't insult them back.
Right.
You know? You follow me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's just such a challenge, I think.
But when you're insulted, don't you, the natural thing to do is say, oh, yeah.
To return it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you think I'm a, well, let me tell you what I think about you.
Right.
Oh, you don't like me? You hate my guts? Well, let me tell you, I don't like you much either. But to say, you know what? That's okay. I love you anyway. It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
But it's supernatural, isn't it?
Absolutely. When I'm thinking about it in like terms of a broader context too, like I think there's a distinction between, like you're saying, somebody breaking into a house and threatening, your wife and your kids and your safety and all this kind of stuff, robbing you. I think that's very different than like martyrs, you know what I mean? Like the martyrs who prayed for their enemies, prayed for the emperor who's putting them right. to death, and didn't fight back,
I the first reading kind of speaks to us about anger. So, there is a justified anger.
Yeah.
And it is just anger is justified when, like, say, if I'm angry because I see another person harmed.
Mm.
Okay. So if I have a family member or a friend who is being threatened and there's another person who's going to inflict injury, I have to do, it's a not only a right but an obligation for me to stop that person from hurting this other person. You follow me on this? Okay, but when it comes to like just a personal injury on me, like somebody taking something that is mine or an insult hurled at me, those little personal things, okay, we have to go above and beyond just doing what is natural, and that is the natural want to get back at them somehow. Revenge. We have to just yuck it up. Mm. I think that's, you follow me on that? Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Talk into the mic, would you please?
Yeah, I'm just still thinking about it. I'm trying to break it open and fit it into like this idea of when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I think this speaks to it, and I'm trying to break open about exactly how, but... I mean, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, the Roman guards come to take Jesus, and Peter pulls out his sword and lops off the servant's ear, right? And Jesus tells him, I think, reflecting back on this gospel, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what this is speaking to as well, is this idea that...
But then you could say, well, Peter was just defending the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But then again... On the other hand,
I know
the Lord
had to go through what he had to go through in order to save us.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus knew that. Peter, apparently not as well as our Lord would have liked, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's challenging. It's really challenging. And as you said, that's entirely the point, is it's meant to be challenging, right? Because if we loved those who loved us, what difference would that be, right?
Well, there you go. Jesus said it in the text, right?
Yeah.
What good is it if you do some good thing for somebody who does something good for you? What recompense is that? You know, don't even the pagans do the same?
Mm-hmm.
Gentiles do the same? You know, what's the big deal? You know, you scratch your back, I'll scratch mine. Okay, well, you know, what good is that?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the minute you stop doing me a favor, I'm going to stop doing you a favor.
Yeah.
So the Lord is saying, keep doing favors, even though your neighbor doesn't want to do you favors anymore.
Right. Don't expecting something in return.
Yeah. Don't expect a thank you every time you do some favor for your buddy or for a neighbor or whoever.
I think that's a great point, too. Even in the spiritual life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's good to do good things, but we shouldn't do good things with this. And this is, okay, let me flesh this out as this thought's coming, but it's kind of like we were talking about a couple of months ago about like perfect contrition and imperfect contrition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect to want to do good things and be sorry for your sins just out of offending our Lord and wanting to be good and holy and that sort of thing, right? Then you have the imperfect side of it where it's like, oh, I have to be a good person. I have to, you know, I have to not eat meat on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday because that's what it means to be good. And I do it more out of an obligation or out of this imperfect sense of like, but it's still there. Like it's still there. We have this foundation, but it's not as perfected as it could be, right? And maybe that's kind of a piece of it as well, is we're not doing these things to expect something in return, to expect, you know, all right, God, you know, I'm throwing you this Hail Mary pass. Like, come on, you got to give me something back. Like, you know what I mean? Give me heaven, Jesus. I did this bare minimum sort of thing. I skirted my way through it, but
well,
you know what
well,
I mean? Does that make sense?
I think, I know what you're saying, but we just face it. Ultimately, we do what we do because we want heaven.
Right.
So, you know, you could even say, well, that's kind of selfish that you're just doing this because you want heaven. But ultimately, you're doing it because it can't be about that. It has to be about your love for God.
Yes.
And love is, you know, it's obedience is an expression, or it's obedience is a sign of love.
Mm.
Okay. So look in the first reading, you know, from a Leviticus, where the Lord says to Moses, you know, do not hold hatred in your heart for your brother or your sister.
Mm.
Seek no revenge against your people. Okay. And then I love it. He says, I am the Lord. So he's saying, look, you know, this is no suggestion.
Yeah.
It's a commandment. And I'm not some member of the state. I'm not a president. I'm not a governor. I am the Lord.
Mm.
Final word. So this is what you're going to do.
Mm.
Okay. You're not going to hold on to hate. You're going to let it go. You're not going to have revenge, okay, against anybody, okay?
Mm.
So that's what the Lord is. It's a command from him.
Yeah.
So, and then going back to the gospel, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, so in other words, love without expecting anything in return.
Oh, that's a great point.
Right?
That's a great point.
And even if your brother causes you harm, forget. Okay, so somebody slaps you upside the head. Don't slap him back.
Right.
Pray for him or her.
Right.
You know, because you could get, I was a kid, I got slapped in the head by a girl more than once. You know, but so don't slap them back and pray for them instead. Right.
And that's how God loves.
Exactly. And then if and when they need help, be the first person to offer them assistance. Because that's how you will win them over to yourself.
Yes.
You see.
And okay. So that's how God loves, right? That's I think that's the key. That's the key to unlocking this passage, is that's how God loves. God loves humanity. He loves his creation. He doesn't do it like this puppet master being like, okay, it's a transaction. I gave you this, now give it back. It's not this transaction thing. He loves everyone regardless, right? And that's the key, right? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect, be perfected in love for your brothers and sisters, not expecting something in return, mm-hmm. not as a transaction, right? And I think that was more of my point. And I'm glad you kind of helped me figure that out. But that the point was that, you know, we don't do these things being like, okay, now I've done these things, I've said the prayers, like I get heaven. I can get heaven now. It's just right. Mm-hmm. This transaction. You're right. You're so right. Is that it should be born out of love, a deep, profound love for our Lord
and obedience to
and
Him.
Obedience, right? Obedience. It flows from love, right?
Who gives a command?
Yeah.
Doesn't give us a suggestion.
Right.
You know, if it's not inconvenient, then love your neighbor.
Right.
If it's really not a problem, but if it's a problem, then go ahead and hate him.
Right.
No, love your enemies. Okay, and pray for those who persecute you.
Well, it's kind of like in a spousal or a familial relationship, right? It's you want to do things that makes your beloved happy, that pleases your beloved, mm-hmm. and it flows from that love, right? So it's not this, oh, I have to go, you know, I have to go mow the lawn, or I have to go, you know, X, Y, and Z, I have to go make dinner, whatever it is, right? Is that you do, you have that obedience, you have that desire to please your beloved, like in true love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. So the obedience flows forth from that love, and it's interconnected and intertwined mm-hmm. profoundly and deeply. So
then, you know, you have to, you know, I open up a can of worms, I suppose, and it would cause this podcast to go on for another hour. But then we have to say, well, what about justice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about justice? Yeah. So I think we need to save that one for another time,
And justice is, I mean, if Tony were here and when he comes back, we can pick his brain on this, but on justice and how justice flows forth from love and obedience too, right? Like they're so intertwined.
But when is justice truly justice and when is it not so much justice, but just retribution or revenge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what the first reading's talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exact no revenge. Do not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart.
Yeah, but yet when a person commits a crime,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're deserving of, well, you know, there's the jail thing, right?
Right.
So, you know, that's tough, you know? So, yeah, that would be, when Tony comes back, that's what we need to really talk about that.
Well, and it really, I mean, it's hard, right? Because you have to kind of speak and examine the heart of the person who's handing down the sentence, essentially, mm-hmm. right? And that was the idea of like the penitentiary. Mm-hmm. Penitentiary comes from the root word penitent,
yeah.
to do penance, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Penance for your sins. And the idea was that right. it was this place where you could reflect on your sin, mm-hmm. reflect on what you've done, and come out a better person. Now, whether or not in reality it became that, right, is another question and discussion.
Right. So I think, though, with these readings, I think the Lord is really speaking. I'm taking this as just speaking to individual persons,
mm-hmm.
saying, look, if your neighbor, who might be your enemy, you know, causes you some grief, be it a foul word or some little injustice, then forgive that person and give your, well, really ultimately is get rid of the anger and resentment you have for that person.
Mm.
Okay. But like, again, if the neighbor, you know, burns your house down or rips you off, breaks into your house, takes everything. Well, you know, okay. So, you know, you turn that over to the state does its thing. But at the same time, I guess maybe this is where, I can go with this, is saying, even if that's the case, that your neighbor who might be your enemy has done this thing to you, mm-hmm. and the state has decided to incarcerate this person or punish this person, still, nonetheless, you as an individual person must, from your heart, forgive that person and pray for them.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and this is, there's a really famous philosopher who, and I'm stealing this from him, Pascal, but essentially, right, that outward actions, that your spirit will tend to follow your outward actions, albeit it's beleaguered, it takes time, it's a process, it doesn't happen immediately. But if you start to behave in a loving way towards your neighbor, if you start to, you know, turn the other cheek, give him your cloak, give him your tunic, stuff like that. If you start to do that, and maybe in your heart, you're still like real angry and real filled with resentment. Eventually, if you keep repeating those actions and keep earnestly trying, eventually your heart will fall into line, right? Is that these things are
whose
meant,
heart? Their heart?
No, your heart. The one who's being affected, the one who's giving, you know, these things up. Right. That your heart will kind of fall into line. It's kind of like lines on the roadway, right? They're there and we might want to swerve at them or whatever, but they're there to kind of guide us and keep us on track. So
what if your enemy, this person who's inflicting injury, and then you are like, you know, okay, so I'm just going to say nothing. I'm just going to let it go. And then this person sees that as a sign of weakness and then they take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing
stuff
out.
No. I can appreciate the, being the devil's advocate. I think,
but then again, our Lord said, forgive 77 times, seven times.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the situation of the apostles and the early church because, right, there are examples of them not being silent and standing up for what's right. And maybe that's the distinction.
Well, we have to stand up for what's right.
You know, and I think that's a distinction, you know, is in faith or morals, or is it like it's a petty, stupid argument over stupid things that are passing away, you know?
Yeah.
You know, how much does pride also, like, where does pride fall into this? I want to say something back because my pride is affected. I want to call this person out on their baloney or whatever, you know, because my pride is hurt.
Okay,
you know?
But pride is the root of all sin, right? Right. All sin comes from pride, okay?
Right.
And if somebody says some negative thing to you or about you and you're offended by that, okay, why is that? That's pride. If you're, when you're afraid, fear is, what is the root of fear? Pride. Mm. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
It is true. It's pride. Okay. So when you're offended, that's pride because you have been offended.
Right. Exactly. It offends me. It offends how I see myself as a strong man or whatever. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it offends that ideal I have of myself.
Well, think about like, okay, gossip. Yeah. Here's something about gossip. Okay. Mm. Why do we gossip? Why does a person gossip? Because as long as the focus is on somebody else, then it's not on me. I am offended. It's not on me. Me, right?
Yeah.
So if as long as we're talking about this other person in the office or in the classroom, the focus is not on me. And a lot of times that, you know, and a lot of people gossip because they don't, quite frankly, want to look at themselves. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, however, we all know that when I leave the room, guess what? They come after me.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But isn't that true though? Right.
It's a good point. Yeah.
It's pride. It's
like
pride.
A wound. Yeah. That pride manifesting itself. Yeah.
But then again, the Lord said, rejoice when men speak ill of you. That for being, you know, a Christian or
because of
a holy
name.
Person, yeah. You know, because of the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So now if they give you the business because you're a jerk, okay, well, that's one thing. But if you're doing the right, good thing, if you're doing, you know, if you're following, you know, as best as you can, the will of the Lord and people are offended by that, then you should rejoice if they're talking smack about you.
It's a good point, right? And that's the idea of like fraternal correction. Yeah.
Look at that cigar blew up, by the way. Look at that.
Oh, that's very sad.
Can't even finish it.
That's really sad.
Blew up on me.
I just keep relighting mine. But that's a good point though, right? Like fraternal correction. Like, hey, Joe, whoever. Hey, yeah. Joe, you know, I've noticed, you know, you've been struggling with this or you've been saying this and like I have love for you, you know, and I want you to be better and this isn't right. And that's very different than like, hey man, you suck. Right. You need a whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's a different spirit. Fraternal correction.
I was reading somebody the other day. I can't remember an early church father who said, "A fool, it is the arrogant fool who rejects correction. It is the wise man who accepts it." Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. punches you in the chest, doesn't it?
Right? And I'm the worst, you know. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know?
I'm there with you, dude.
Your homily was good, Father, except for that. What do you mean? Except for that one point. What do you mean by that, huh? You know?
Yeah.
Well, you could have said it this way. Oh, don't tell me how to preach. You didn't go to the seminary.
You're the guy who
You didn't take homiletics.
You're the guy who thinks he knows everything.
Right?
Yeah. No. It's a good point, man.
Yeah. Nah. So it's the wise man who says, oh, please tell me so that I can, you know, let me think about that. You know, I can fix that. Yeah. You got a good point. You got a good point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any case, you know, this command of the Lord, and it's, again, it's not a, you know, the commandments are not suggestions, and our Lord is telling us, look, you know, you want to be perfect like your Father in heaven, then here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You've got to let go of your anger, let go of resentment, let go of jealousy,
pride,
let it go, give it all to God, forget about it, forget about what so-and-so said about you or did to you 10 years ago.
Right.
Let it go. That was then. This is now. If you want to be like your Father in heaven, just love and love that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They don't like you. Fine. Love them anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, easy? No. Natural? No. But guess what? Supernatural.
Yes.
Supernatural. All right.
Amen.
All right. So I think that's about enough for tonight.
Yeah.
Or today. Tonight.
Tonight, today.
This morning, whenever you're listening to this.
Ash Wednesday, whatever.
Ash Wednesday, the day after.
5 years from now. That's going to be trippy, isn't it? Somebody stumbles upon our podcast in like 10 years, listens to us.
Yeah, out in outer space, man. Signal's going.
Going to beam this out to Mars. Beam me up, Scotty.
Okay, so hey, listen, sjvnm.org is the place to go. That's our website. Give you the entire mass schedules,
yes,
confessions, stations of the cross,
hey,
the regulations for, you know, fasting and abstaining during Lent. All of it's there.
And let me say this too: go early to confession. Go early to confession, right? So people love to wait, and me too.
Last minute.
I'm there.
Last minute. A person should go to confession before Lent.
Yeah. 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 Hey, that's where we've heard of Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah, Shrove Tuesday.
So they call, we call the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. So you heard it called Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's because, in Europe, what they would do is you'd have to, again, remember I was talking about like no butter, no fat, no, what is it? Milk, stuff like that, dairy. Yeah,
dairy.
So they would get all the lard together and they'd like make pancakes and all the stuff. They use up all the fat the Tuesday before Lent. So they didn't have any of the fat, any lard, anything like that into Lent. Okay. That's why we call it Fat Tuesday, call it Mardi Gras. Cause that's French. I don't know what that means.
Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. And then, in the English church, we call it Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove Tuesday.
Shrove. Shrove.
What does it mean?
It means to be shriven. To be shriven of your sins. It's an old English word to get rid of your sins. So the Tuesday. So it's funny, right? How traditions have changed over the years. We see Fat Tuesday now. It's get wasted, go whatever. Like New Orleans. You think of just all this debauchery, right, on Fat Tuesday. But the truth is. It was a really holy day in the early church. You'd go to confession. You'd get rid of all your goodies. All your goodies are gone on that Tuesday.
The way it should be.
You start your Lent off good. So go to confession early. Please, please, please don't wait till the last minute because, you know, you don't want to risk not making a good confession before Easter. So just do it. It's great. Your soul will thank you. God will thank you.
If you come early to confession, I'll dish out. I'll give you a Hail Mary. If you show up on the last day, man, you're going to be running laps.
Yeah.
You know, two-mile run.
You got
a two-mile run.
To walk from here to Rome. But,
is that possible?
So, I mean, you have to take a ship or something or a plane, I guess.
You'd have to walk, like, overland. Like, that would mean you'd have to go up over the North Pole.
No. Oh, yeah, overland? No, it's not.
But, yeah, if you walk from
impossible.
Here to Rome.
You wouldn't be able
You
to.
Can't get... You have to go through water at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't walk unless you can walk on water.
This is such a weird tangent.
Well, no, but you can't walk on water.
No, it's true.
I did once. I ran on water once. No, did I tell you the story?
Stop it. Be quiet.
I did.
It's not true.
Justin Bucala will testify to the fact that I ran on water.
You did not.
We were in Mexico. I tell you the truth. We were in Mexico.
Call him up right now.
No, we were in the water up to like my knees or above, right? Mm-hmm. And Justin looks down and goes, "What is that?" And I look down. There's this big sea snake.
Oh, I did.
And I ran on water. I treaded water. It was amazing. I did. He'll testify to it. It's the most amazing thing. I'm telling you, the Vatican should investigate this and should be proclaimed a miracle.
Beatify him. Is he still alive?
Beatify me. Man, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was spooky, man. Looking down and seeing that thing, it was right there. I'm like, holy smokes.
Catholic Review.
And those things are deadly, aren't they, those sea snakes?
I have no idea. I don't know.
It's one of those electric sea snakes?
The eel?
No, I don't think so.
Electric sea snakes?
Yeah, they bite you and electricity goes through
your
body.
What on earth are you talking about?
It's like getting bolted by lightning.
It's an eel. you're just going off. Well, thanks for sticking around, ladies and gentlemen. You can, drop us a review. I just noticed we haven't gotten any reviews since December.
Yeah.
So, we need one new review for the new year. Can you do that by next week? If you haven't left us a review yet and you have something positive to say, then drop us a review. Mm-hmm. We'd appreciate it so much. Mm-hmm. And on iTunes, you can contact us. holysmokes@sjvnm.org is our email. You can keep up with us on Instagram @holysmokescatholic.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by a few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.